And now on BBC Radio 4, it's that time of week when Nicholas Parsons declares...
Welcome to Just a Minute! Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but throughout the world, but particularly to welcome to the show this week four outstanding, delightful, daring, definitive players of this game. And we have sitting on my right somebody who's always a pleasure to have back here, that outstanding comedian Paul Merton. And sitting behind him, we have another marvellous comedian who can be quite surreal on occasions. That is Ross Noble. And sitting on my left, we have another engaging and self-effacing comedian who sometimes can be very outrageous, and that is Graham Norton. And sitting beside him, we have a delightful comedy performer and presenter. That is Sue Perkins. And will you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst. She's going to hold a stopwatch. She'll make a note of the score. She'll blow her whistle when the 60 seconds has elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Mermaid Theatre at Puddle Dock near Blackfriars, near the City of London. And we have an amazing audience here, drawn from every part of this great metropolis of London, who've come together to cheer us on our way, and they're dying for us to get started. So let's start the show this week with Paul Merton. And who better, Paul? The subject is, what I would say to a mermaid. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
I was very fortunate to go out with a mermaid once. Lovely creature, vital statistics, 36.24 and 78 pence a pound. Wonderful. A mermaid, I think, is a beautiful creature, isn't it? If we can imagine...
Ross's challenge.
Repetition of creature?
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely.
You would have
definitely. So,
you get a point for a correct challenge, of course, and you have 50 seconds. You take over the subject of what I would say to a mermaid, starting now.
What I would say to a mermaid is, can I be your agent? Because all I'd have to do is take her down to SeaWorld, put on a dolphin mask, and she would pass herself off as some sort of performing creature. Oh, yes, I'd make a fortune, because not only would she be able to jump through a hoop, she'd be able to make an omelette, another thing.
challenge.
Repetition of she'd be able.
She would be able, yes.
Do dolphins make omelettes?
Strictly speaking, underwater, okay. You can't get the gas working. But, you know.
Just leave it. For the correct challenge, a point to you, and you have 32 seconds. You take back the subject of what I would say to a mermaid, starting now.
There was a marvellous film called Miranda, starring Glynis Johns. I think it was made about 1948, and it captured the British heart because they went to see this film and they thought to themselves, what a wonderful depiction.
Ross, challenge again.
Was it a repetition of film?
Yes.
Could have been.
Yes, there was, yeah. Definitely, yes. The film was with Maid, and they went to see this film. 22 seconds, Ross, you got the subject back again. What I would say to a mermaid, starting now.
Put your fins away, love, you're stinking up the place, you know. It's a lovely hot day, and quite frankly, the pong coming off you smells like the back of my local fishmongers. Unfortunately for mermaids, they can't use deodorant because it tends to dry the scales out and they fall out of the...
Sue Perkins, you've challenged.
Oh, hesitation, but...
No, I don't think so. I think he was going in fine form. He was... he was getting a bit quieter, admittedly. But it was lovely to hear from you, Sue, and...
Thank you. That's me done for the night, then.
No, no, it was an incorrect challenge. So, Ross, you have another point, and you have 3 seconds on the subject, starting now.
I would say a blah, 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 because she'd be underwater.
challenge, yes?
Repetition.
Of what?
Oh, blah, blah, blah.
That's right. I'm afraid you did repeat the old blah. So, Paul, another correct challenge, another point to you, and 2 seconds available, starting now.
I'd throw up a huge amount of chips...
So at the end of the first round, Paul Merton and Ross Noble did most of the talking, and they finished up equal in the lead with 3 points each. Sue Perkins begins the next round, and has a chance to hear from you two on flower power. Can you tell us something about flower power in this game, starting now?
Flower power is a term that refers to a breakaway separatist horticultural movement started by a rose in the 1960s. Not happy with being in a bed with peonies, pansies, rhododendrons and the like, this particular plant decided to set up a free love commune. Any bee, at any time.
born you challenged.
Sadly, hesitation.
A sadly, hesitation. So 43 seconds are available, and you have flower power now, starting.
It was a term that was coined in San Francisco around about 1965, I think. We're probably familiar with the images of students placing flowers into the barrels of guns held by men who were guarding various bits of...
Sue.
I realised I didn't know what I was talking about.
Yes. Yes, it was a definite there. So, Sue, you have the subject back, and you have your first point, and you have 32 seconds. Flower power, starting now.
Stinking students would often lie naked in front of tanks, which at any point in time seems a ridiculous thing to do, as the tanks would inexorably move. I am an idiot.
No, it's just a very difficult game. And it's a natural way of speaking often. But, Ross, you've challenged first.
Repetition of tanks.
That's right. Too many tanks. 25 seconds available on flower power with you, Ross, starting now.
Flower power is the new form of alternative energy which has just been created. You take a tiny pansy and put it in a harness connected to a small generator. He starts moving along like that. And as the petals brush against the electrical thing, you will find that...
Graham.
Sorry, no, I'm a fool. Wrong. Wrong. Absolutely. Bad buzzer. No.
I think you thought he was going to repeat the name of the equipment, didn't you?
I don't know what I thought.
Right, no. It was jolly nice to hear from you, Graham, but unfortunately it was an incorrect challenge. And there are 9 seconds for Ross on flower power starting now.
The popular children's programme Power Rangers was in fact invented by Alan Titchmarsh. If you were to rip the helmets off the...
Graham challenge.
I sense hesitation there now.
I think probably you're right.
Ooh. Ooh. How
in other
dare
words,
you?
It's what, in other words, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt because it was marginal.
Oh, this will come back to haunt me.
No, people have been bribing me on this series to get the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, have they?
Yes, they have.
Really?
Well, you know, when
bribing you with what exactly?
Oh, well, I'm not going to tell you.
How much does the benefit of the doubt cost these days?
A date with you soon?
ask. For viewers who like a visual picture, Sue is regurgitating her sandwiches.
Right. So that's put you right off, has it?
No,
so don't go for it.
I've last. Always been in love with you.
Right. Oh, how exciting.
We leave this edition of Just a Minute Now.
And we come to Graham Norton with 2 seconds to go on flower power starting now.
I spent a lot...
Ross challenge.
There's 20 quid for the benefit of the doubt.
Ross, you can't double my fee like this. It's not worth it. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy you a drink with it afterwards. So, Ross, you challenge then to Graham, who was just trying to get into his stride in half a second, and he thought it was hesitation, and it wasn't hesitation. So, Graham, you have another point.
Good.
And you have flower power.
I'm liking where this is going.
Yes. With 1.5 seconds to go, starting now.
Flowers' powers are...
I should have said before, in case there's a possibility, there's somebody listening out somewhere who's never heard this show before. Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. I should have said at the beginning, because Paul was speaking at the end of the first round, I got that point, and then Ross was, and on this occasion it was Graham Norton. He's now creeping up on the other two, which is a rather sinister thing to do, and... he's in third place, 1 behind Paul Merton, 2 behind Ross Noble, Sue Perkins is in fourth place. And Graham, your turn to begin. The subject... Oh, something close to the heart of anybody in show business, landladies. Tell us something about landladies in this game, starting now.
The landlady of my local hostelry is a spry little, slightly hirsute woman, akin to a spider monkey. And yet, at the end of the night, she goes around collecting glasses, sometimes using her tail. How colourful. Her voice is still very deep as she cries, "Have you got no homes?"
Oh, you're challenged.
Repetition of she.
Oh.
Oh. Are you not familiar with the game?
You may not have won many friends with the challenge, but it was accurate. But he did say she more than one, 3 times, actually. So on that basis, you have a correct challenge, Paul. And you have 42 seconds on landladies starting now.
The actual landladies in the old history of show business always were... beautifully drawn characters, because comedians would say to other... I don't know.
Ross Challenge.
I was thinking of our overseas listeners. Why should we force English down their throats?
So could you translate it for us, who are English?
Yes, it meant bath mat. In Watusi.
So, we interpret that as hesitation, Ross. You have the subject. 33 seconds on landladies, starting now.
Landladies are a bit like Land Rovers, but they've just been invented to move across the countryside with four-wheel drive traction, doing...
challenged.
Head station.
Yes, there was a definite there. So you're
just,
back in again on landladies.
Well,
yes.
Not as controversial a challenge as the last one, but nevertheless.
That audience reaction obviously hurt you, Paul.
Yes, deeply.
25 seconds on landladies, Paul, starting now.
One of the sights of Blackpool, apart from illuminations, is the redoubtable landladies that live in that area. They have been known throughout the centuries to provide sustenance to eager travellers who come knocking on their door in the middle of the night. They slam on the windows.
Ross Challenge.
They only serve breakfast between 8 and 10.
But, Ross, people can still knock on the door at midnight and say, have you got a room?
Yeah. They're not going to provide sustenance. They might give them a pillow.
Sustenance isn't just breakfast.
They might out of kindness.
A little packet of love two biscuits beside the kettle.
Yeah.
And you could eat them.
Yeah.
No? Often shortbread.
Yeah, always hermetically sealed shortbread at any time of day.
Yes. Or the Gideon Bible, if you're desperate.
No, that's hotels, not on landladies. Don't bother with Bibles. They're most worried about...
Are you saying they're Satanists? This is going all over the world, Nicholas. The landladies are all Satanists.
All I know from my experience of theatrical landladies, their most major concern is the lavatory. And they always sort of say, don't forget to tell you how to work the flush. And they always say, do be careful.
Which is, no, they look at you, Nicholas, and they think, he doesn't know how to work a toilet.
There was one who said to me, she said, don't worry, love, just go up there and surprise it. It works a charm.
Was she Scandinavian?
That is such a paltry sort of attempt at humour, really. So, I think we expect better from you.
Because I mock your accent. What accent was it? I'm trying to work out.
You know what accent it was. It was a northern accent, probably Yorkshire. Could have been a bit of Lancashire. Yes.
Hedging your bet.
If you know, write in.
Either way, I think you've secured yourself a guest spot on Last of the Summer Wine.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
As a mystery object.
So,
where is this man from?
So we're going to have more revelations about the vulgarities that go on in landladies' places from Paul Merton with 9 seconds to go, starting now.
The worst landlady I ever met was called Mrs. Roberts, and what an absolute horror she was. I remember very clearly, as if it was
Ross Challenge.
Repetition of remember.
Yes, you remember the landlady and you remember it very clearly. Yes.
Oh, OK.
And Ross has gone in cleverly with 1 second to go on landladies, starting now.
I once got a bath...
Paul Challenge.
Hesitation.
No. Another point to Ross. Half a second, Paul. Ross on...
Ross? It's Paul Ross. Jonathan Ross, his brother.
He's on the bench. He's been substituted now.
He's the first reserve. He's come in. Right. Half a second for you, Ross Noble, on landladies, starting now.
Paul Ross and I were once...
So, Ross Noble then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point. And the situation at the end of that round is Sue Perkins is training a little, and she's just behind Graham Norton. Graham's a few points behind Paul Merton, and Paul is 2 points behind Alida, who is now Ross Noble. And, Ross, it's also your turn to begin, and the subject is Happy as Larry. Tell us something about that delightful subject in this game, starting now.
Happy as Larry was a term coined by Larry the Lamb during the 1964 mint sauce shortage. That's right. You could not get a jar of that garnish anywhere for love nor money, and that little creature was ever so.
Sue Challenge.
Is it repetition of little?
Yes. Larry the Lamb, little creature.
Oh, Sue, how could you?
There was a mint shortage and everything.
She did it because it's part of the rules of the game, and she's got in there with 45 seconds to tell us something about Larry the... Sorry, Larry the Lamb. There's something about...
Don't mix it up with Muffin the Mule. That's a criminal offence.
Right. It's actually as happy as Larry as the subject. 45 seconds, Sue, starting now.
As happy as Larry is a phrase that refers to Larry Simons, who tragically as a child fell, like Joker from Batman, into a vat of hydrochloric acid, thus giving him a beaming smile from one ear to another orifice. At this point, he realised...
Graham Challenge.
I don't think an ear is an orifice, is it?
It is an orifice, yes.
Is it?
Any hole is an orifice.
Oh, you've changed.
I'm very worried. I'm very worried about this smile that goes from an ear to an orifice.
It's a very big grin.
It's a big grin. That is a big grin.
Yeah, it is.
I point out.
Isn't that a big grin, Nicholas? Didn't you say that was a big grin?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a big grin.
It's an impossible grin, but you're playing just a minute. It's a very clever way of describing it.
Yeah.
And I should point out to Graham, there's many orifices we have on our body. And
Please don't point them out.
No.
I wouldn't bother, because you've done it so frequently in your previous shows. So, Sue, an incorrect challenge. You still have As Happy as Larry, and you have 30 seconds starting now.
This ridiculous Gurn was with him from the moment he had this tragic accident to the day he died.
Ross, challenge.
Repetition of accident.
I think you're possibly right.
Yes.
Interesting. Yeah.
She had to. So, Ross, well listened. As Happy as Larry is back with you. Yes, it is. It's your subject to start with. 23 seconds starting now.
As Happy as Larry was actually coined from an Australian boxer named Larry, who was repeatedly punched in the face but never lost any teeth.
A poor challenge.
Repetition of punched.
Yes, he was punched in the face and frequently punched.
That was good.
I know.
I suddenly realised I'm not listening at all.
The scary thing is, I'm not, and I was sick. Yeah.
But what was interesting, there was an awed silence when you challenged. There's never been such silence on a challenge before.
Yes, so, it's something we've been striving for years. So be quiet, audience.
I'm trying to work it out. Paul, you have the subject, and you have As Happy as Larry, 18 seconds, starting now.
When Larry Parks, the actor, was given the role of playing Al Jolson in the film of that name, he was thrilled. This was a massive role for him, and he was... Parks' role?
Graham challenged.
Oh, I thought role twice,
yes,
no?
Yes, there were two
Did
roles.
Did I say role
oh,
twice?
There were two roles.
Yes, there were two roles.
Yes.
A massive role, and he had this role. 8 seconds with you, Graham, on As Happy as Larry, starting now.
For many years, I've been as happy as Larry. Sadly, Larry is my suicidal neighbor who suffers from manic depression.
So Graham Norton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's still in third place, just ahead of Sue Perkins, but trailing Paul Merton and Ross Noble in that order. And Sue, it's your turn to begin. Magic. That is the subject. Work your magic on that subject. Tell us something about it. 60 seconds, starting now.
Never confuse magic with miracles, as I learnt to my cost as a teenager when I accidentally sawed my best friend Sally in half. Bereft, I waited for her to magically reappear into one whole human being, but sadly and tragically, nothing to that end occurred. Same with the rabbit. It disappeared down the hat, and I never saw it again. As for my guinea pig, it was nailed to a circle as I played the great flying daggers of death.
Paul Challenge.
Where the authority? He's never called. You've sawn your best friend in half. You've started on your pets. What the earth's going on, Nicholas?
I don't know. So, Paul, the audience enjoyed your interruption. Give you a bonus point for that. Sue was interrupted, so she gets a point for that. She keeps the subject of magic, and there are 38 seconds starting now.
As the brutal, bloody carnage progressed, I tried to hide my grandmother under one of three cups. Where is she? It's obvious to spot because she's wearing the paper cup hat. That's cup twice.
Paul Jones.
Cup,
yes. 28 seconds are still available, Paul. Tell us something about magic starting now.
It's one of those great Christmas presents you get when you're younger and you think, oh, great, a compendium of magic games. Yeah. So, excuse me, are you playing? You're not mic'd up at the moment. She's quite right, Nicholas. She got it right, though.
Give her the benefit.
I should explain to our listeners, because everybody here can see what's going on, that somebody in the audience, right in the front row, was pressing her thing like that, as if she was pressing a buzzer.
Pressing her knee.
And that was what, pressing her knee. And she's now in hysterics, but... So give a bonus point to that girl in the front row. That round of applause, which was Ross offered her buzzer, his buzzer. Oh, it's very
easy. It makes
easy
a noise if you press the end of it.
It's very easy to be got into a state of confusion with these four bright sparks around me. Right, where were we?
Five. Five bright sparks.
Yeah.
Who challenged? Sue, you challenged.
Repetition of great.
That's right.
Yeah.
23 seconds on magic starting now.
I'm used to seeing Paul Daniels in the bunco booth with a rather sinister visor, akin to the type you get to see in Vegas when people are dealing decks of cards. There he sits with his shriveled hands, staring down a woman's cleavage, saying, "Which one do you think it is, love?" And there he practices his sleight of hand over the clubs and spades and...
Paul challenged.
Did we have hand before?
Yes, sleight of hand. But that was hand and hands now.
All right. So I thought I was talking to the chairman. So what were you saying over there? You're losing authority here, Nicholas.
No, I think they're all joining in, which is tremendous fun. But I can't give any points for a correct challenge.
This is Rose C. Welcome you to Just a Minute. That's what I'm looking
for. Right. And there are 7 seconds still with you, Sue, on magic starting now.
The Indian rope trip's one of my favourites.
Graham challenge.
The Indian rope trip?
Yes.
That is a particular trick.
Is it a trip? Is it a magic trip?
Yep. You trip over America. The Indian rope.
So your challenge within the rules of Just a Minute.
Hesitation after trip. Or trip. Or recognition of Indian. I don't know.
Benefit of the doubt to you, Graham. 4 seconds on magic starting now.
Siegfried and Roy are two of my favourite magicians in the whole world.
So Graham Norton speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. An interesting situation as we move into the final round.
Ooh.
I think it was worth more than that.
Did a Chinese magician just walk in there?
The Indian rope trips kicked in.
I don't think you should say what the interesting situation is. We just leave it at that.
Yeah. It's a very interesting situation.
Is it?
No, because people do get involved in the point situation, so I'll have to give it to them, because in third place, equal, are Sue Perkins and Graham Norton. And Sue has leapt. She's leapt from nowhere to be equal with Graham. And just ahead of them are Ross Noble, who's only 1 point behind our leader, which is Paul Merton, and... Graham, you begin the final round.
Do I?
Yes, you do. And the subject, well, it's your turn, actually. The subject is Saturday...
Is that why I'm starting?
That is why you're starting.
Oh, okay.
There's a certain logic to the way we run the show. It's rather good, this, because it's something you've been associated with. Saturday nights.
Ah.
Yeah, yes. So Saturday nights, Graham, 60 seconds, starting now.
Saturday nights, all right for fighting. And vomiting and wearing no tights outside nightclubs. That seems to be the great British tradition of Saturday nights. Saturday nights, I'll say it again because I can. Saturday nights are wonderful.
So you challenge.
Hesitation.
No.
After Saturday nights.
No,
no,
no, wasn't.
No.
So I'm still on my Indian rope trip, so...
He was going in true sort of Graham Norton style, and he's still got 45 seconds on Saturday nights starting now.
Saturday nights give people a lot of pressure, I feel, because it's the one night of the week when they're supposed to have a good time. It's too much for people. Have I said people before?
Yes. And Sue spotted it first.
Has he said people before?
He has said people before. Sue, you've got a correct challenge, and you've got 33 seconds on Saturday nights starting now.
I like to spend Saturday nights listening to Graham Norton saying the word Saturday nights again and over and repetitiously and to the point where I no longer know what I'm saying. Help me.
Last challenge.
I buzzed after she said, "Help me."
It was a crime. cry for help.
It was a cry for help, but she didn't actually say, help me.
No, she did.
No, she didn't. Thank you very much. Yes, she did.
But I wasn't in my right mind then.
I know. But it doesn't matter where your mind goes in this show. It doesn't.
No need to finish that sentence.
As I frequently try to demonstrate. Right, so she did say help me. You're quite right, Ross. You have a subject and you have 24 seconds on Saturday nights starting now.
The Saturday nights were the direct competition to the Knights of the Round Table. They were very, very different. They would put on...
Paul, challenge.
Repetition, very, very, very.
Yes,
very.
There was two berries there. Mm. Paul, you've got him with another point. You've got a point for coming in there. 18 seconds, Saturday nights starting now.
Saturday night television when I was growing up was particularly special. We all remember things like the Generation Game with Bruce Forsyth, followed by the two Ronnies, and then who can forget shows like Parkinson or Match of the Day? That was what it was all about on a Saturday night. You could suppose challenge.
What's your challenge? Why have you challenged, Ross?
Repetition of night.
Oh yes, because
it's
Saturday
night.
Saturday nights.
Is it?
Yes. Saturday nights is a subject, and you said night.
Oh, okay.
More than once.
Sure, fine.
So Ross was listening well.
Yeah,
and he's cleverly got in with 2 seconds to go on Saturday nights, starting now.
I used to love the Generation.
So, Ross Noble was then speaking as the whistle went and gained that extra point. I'll give you the final situation. It's a very fair one, actually. In second place, equal, were Sue Perkins and Graham Norton, and they gave huge value, but they didn't get quite as many points as the other two. And they were equal in first place. Equal in 17 points. Aww. Ross Noble and Paul Merton. Welcome. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four outstanding players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Ross Noble and Sue Perkins. And I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score and blown her whistle with such elegance when the 60 seconds was up. We thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who thought of this wonderful game. And also, we are grateful to this lovely audience here in the Mermaid Theatre at Puddle Dock, who have cheered us on our way magnificently. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, from our team, thank you, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And you can tune in at the same time next week when Just a Minute comes from the Yvonne Arno Theatre in Guildford, where Nicholas Parsons will be joined by Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Clement Freud and Linda Smith.